Because it first of me. Good morning to everybody. It's good to see y'all this morning. Friendly faces, happy faces, smiling faces. That's pleasant. It's pleasant, and it's not of ourselves. It's not of anything that we have in ourselves. Everything we have in here this morning is a gift from God. And I believe that all of us, all of us have been made well aware of His grace and mercy in our lives every day. How much grace and mercy He's given to us. And if we stop and think about everything that we have, He shows us His grace and mercy every day, almost every moment. And when we don't see it, it's because we're failing to recognize it or look for it, because it is always there.
It is.
And it is ever present. And God truly has been good to us. I stand in need of your prayers. I want to serve the Lord the best way that I can, and I want to tell you about. I want to ask the Lord to bless us this morning, if you would pray for each other. I've had a good weekend. funny thing about being at Old Baptist is the Lord will bless you in all the places that the natural world look at and think that's just not a place you would want to be or would receive a blessing. But yesterday we heard the truth proclaimed to a group of folks that may have been thinking that there was something that they needed to do in order to make something right, in order for them to secure their eternal salvation. And I stood under God's glorious Son and witnessed Him bless a brother to preach salvation by grace and grace alone to a group of little children of God that needed to hear it. And the Bible tells us, John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit, this is the words of Jesus, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Amen. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. Verse 65 says, and He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Brethren, we don't come to the Lord unless the Lord makes us alive to want to come to Him. That is, the only, man doesn't want by his nature. Man has no desire to know the things of the Lord. They are not. We are enmity against God, our very natural self, because of the sin of our flesh, and that is why we die. And I want to tell you this morning that everything we have is through the Lord, by the Lord. Our eternal salvation has been secured by the Lord, by God, and His infinite wisdom and His foreknowledge. And He has chosen a people that He loved. And He's not only chosen that people, He's preserved that people and kept that people. And brethren, I believe this morning that when we come seeking after Him, that that is an evidence that we are His people. Amen. Because it tells me here, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, Jesus Christ, except it were given unto him of my Father. That means God's got to work that work of grace and make you alive in order for you to want to move towards God. Because without that life, you don't know God. But God chose us. He has a chosen people. You read the Bible, you see it evidenced over and over again that God makes choice of people. God chooses. People don't choose themselves. There are evidences where people tried to choose themselves and they were dealt with accordingly. God makes choice. God has chosen us. He's provided for us. That's what I want to tell you about this morning, is the power of our Almighty God. And that's what I have on my mind. So again, y'all pray for me while I try to find, not try to find, but that the Lord would help me focus my thought and speak it to you in a way that it can be understood. And that's what I... It's got to come from you. Amen, brother. It's got to come from Him. Believe all the scriptures profitable. We've been given the Word of God as instruction from Him. He is the Word. And the Word, in the beginning was the Word. He was the Word. And He's given us the Word. This is the written Word. This is our instruction. This is how we live. This is our guideline. And in this book, in the Old Testament, there are times and places where there are examples for us to live and how to walk in this daily life. I want to turn to Joshua, the 10th chapter of Joshua, and I'm going to read the 27 verses, starting there in Joshua 10, and then we'll go back to the beginning. I'll try to give my thoughts on what the Lord's put on my heart and my mind this week. Joshua 10, starting at verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Yarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon. For it hath made peace with Joshua, and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Betharon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Betharon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Adullam. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it, or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Machpelah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Machpelah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them, and stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Machpelah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave: the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them, and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. That's quite the account, reading from Joshua 10, the first 27 verses there of a deliverance of the Lord.
Amen. What a deliverance.
An account, true account.
Amen.
Not a story,
right.
Not a fable, a true account of the Lord's deliverance. Now it came to pass, when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, let's talk about that real quick, just for a brief moment. We all know Jerusalem, the holy city, right? But at this point in time, it wasn't the holy city, was it? You know what made Jerusalem the holy city? Not Israelites, not Jerusalem, God. God's what puts his name in things, that gives the name what it means. It's God. Because here we have Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem. And he had heard how Joshua had taken Ai. Now, if you read back about Ai, you'll see that Ai is a whole nother account. I is a whole nother account that I encourage you to go back and read and see how, because there's an account in there that shows us how, when we don't have the Lord with us, when we think we've got it all figured out, because we can take care of these things, right? That was the account in I. See, they went up to I and found out what it was like when they didn't have the Lord. See,
right.
But God. Our God is forgiving. Our God is long-suffering. Our God is, thank the Lord Jesus Christ, we're able to come to him for repentance.
Amen.
And he's allowed us an opportunity to repent. And when we repent and we walk in the ways and in his laws and in his statutes, there are blessings in our
absolutely
in obedience.
Amen.
There are not blessings, but we don't walk obediently to get blessed. We walk obediently because we need to be obedient.
Right.
It's what we are commanded to do.
Right.
But there are blessings in obedience.
Amen.
And the children of Israel were certainly blessed. I want you to keep in mind, these were a chosen people.
Right.
These are God's chosen people. Now, it's an example. We know all of Israel is not of Israel. There is a natural Israel and there is a spiritual Israel. But the natural Israel, the examples were given to us to use as little children of God, spiritual Israel.
That's correct.
So, Adonizedek has heard, it's funny that he didn't hear how God, he heard how Joshua. How Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it. That you can already tell his plan. He doesn't know who he's up against. He thinks he's up against Joshua. As he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel. Now Gibeon was one of those great cities, as you see here in verse 2, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities. So it had a lot of people in it. Gibeon wasn't just a little old village. It wasn't just a little old town. Gibeon was part of these five kings that are outside of here. Gibeon is part of this, but they were. But now they're not. They've come to Israel. And they've come to Israel seeking help. That's a whole nother account too. But they've come to Israel. They are under Israel's protection. They are servants of Israel. And they are part of Israel. And they're therefore under God's protection. They're under God's hand. And they feared greatly. This is Jerusalem. Adonis is that king of Jerusalem. He feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities. And because it was greater than Ai, so it was bigger than Ai. And all the men thereof were mighty. It means all the strong guys went in there and they had just gotten whooped. Israel had come in there and the Lord had blessed them to lay waste to that city. So Adonizedek here, and then what I want to point out here, I believe when we go against things of the world, I look at Adonizedek and these kings here, these five kings of the Amorites, I see separation from the world. I see a difference between where God's chosen people, the elect, against the world. Where we, as little children of God, we have the world come up against us. And when we come out of that world, the world don't always like that. The world doesn't always, the world don't always understand why we do things we do. And sometimes the world is the people that have been friends of ours, that have been close acquaintances of ours. They may be natural family member of ours. They won't understand everything. You have to come out of that. When you come out of that and you do something different, now all of a sudden, they're going to want to come up against you. And that's one way to look at it. The second way to look at it is what man does. A lot of times when things go wrong or things are outside, he goes and calls five of his buddies. He goes and gets four or five of his buddies that thinks the way he does. And that's where we're going to find our strength and support. Because we got a battle to fight. Let me go get four or five friends. That's how the world thinks, brethren. What we have is not the strength in ourselves, but the strength of the Lord God Almighty to deal with the issues that we have from day to day. And not just the issues that we have from day to day, but the battle that we fight in this old battle of flesh that is so prone to sin and is so prone to wander and is so prone to just go out and do that. It's so prone. But he says, wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, he went and gathered five of his buddies, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. He said, come up to me and help me, for that we may smite Gibeon, for it made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. So the kings got up, they went up to make war against Israel. But the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp. And they had been the servants. He's asking for help. Right. Slack not thy hand from thy servants. There's a lot of times when we come out of this world, we think everything's going to be okay. We come out, Lord, I need your help. I'm here. Lord, now I'm here. I'm in the house of God. I'm feeling good. Everything ought to be A-okay. Everything in my life is going to be just fine. That's not how it goes. And that's not what the Lord's told us. No. That's not what the Bible says. No. The Bible says right here, when we come seeking protection, when we come to find the right thing, when we know where to go, now we got more trouble. Right. Now we don't have just one problem, I got five. Right? Hey, he's telling us right here, hang on, because if you're looking at it through that set of lenses, boy, we got lots of problems. But we don't have as many near problems as we think we do, because we have a great physician. We have something better than Google. We have something better than five friends who may be the best, richest, most powerful men in the world.
or in the natural world. They may be the most five influential people you know, but they are kings of the world, and they pale in comparison to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen. Amen.
And that, brethren, is who is on our side this morning.
Correct.
And that's what we read about here. And they said, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Now I want to see what Joshua did. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal. Now let's put Gilgal in, let's put it in perspective with Gibeon. So Gilgal is the base camp of the Israelites. That's where they at, Gilgal. Okay? Now, I left them out of Marshall this morning. That would be Gilgal. Okay? Gibeon is Dickey Ridge. That's about 20 miles to Dickey Ridge. Except it's uphill. It went uphill about 3,000 feet in elevation, 20 miles uphill. And the only reason I bring that to your attention is just to try to put it in perspective. They ain't close. Joshua is not close to Gibeon right now. But Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor, because he's already been given the instruction. He knows from the word of God that this is what he's supposed to do. He already has that knowledge. He's moving in obedience. But he didn't have to go very far, because right as he's moving, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Look at that. That's past tense. That is not I will deliver, I shall deliver. Make sure you get all your stuff together. Make sure we got all the men in formation. Make sure that everybody's... No. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua, therefore, came unto them suddenly. 20 miles uphill suddenly. That's the power of God. Because I've tried to move men 20 miles. And you can't get them to go 6 feet. It takes the power of God to move that way, in that speed, in that fashion. Joshua, therefore, came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them. That word discomfited there in my margins, it says routed. When I look it up, it means that discomfited is a nice word for y'all got pummeled. Nothing left. No hope. Everything taken from you. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. And he chased them along the way that goeth up to Bethel. And it came to pass as he fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethel, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. The Lord takes care of us and provides. Those hailstones come from above, and we have our sword that God's given us, which is the word of God. That it tells us that in Ephesians 6 is part of our armor. That we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And these are our instructions, as we need to shake off the old man of this world. And we need to get rid of these five kings, because that's what I'm getting at. What I see here is I see old five kings still trying to hang on to something that is now something new. And we need to take care of these five kings. And the Lord, how do we do that? Through the strength of the Lord. Through the power of his might. And what he's given us here, and he tells us that when we have these things, what did they do? When you come out of those things of the world, brethren, we can't just go back to those things of the world and think we're going to be okay. Right? Because that's not what they did here. When the Lord sent down those hailstones and gave them the strength and the power to use the Spirit, to use the sword, he gives us the power to use his Spirit. He gives us his Spirit here as his little children of God. We're to slay those things. We're to remove those things of the world from us. We are to put them in the cave and cover them with stones and never see them again. That's what we ought to be doing. And that's the message I'm trying to tell us this morning as little children of God. Because when God has created a new creature in us, right? There's an old saying that goes back talking about which wolf you feed. Hey, that's close. But the fact of the matter is there's this new man and an old man. Now God created all. God created us perfectly. I want to be clear on that. God is not the author of sin. He is not the author of confusion. That is from the devil and the father of lies. God made us a new creature. He gave us life in natural life. He gave us life in our spiritual life. He is the giver of life. And now that he's made us a new creature, we got to tend to that new creature. Which means we got to put this old man off. And all these things that I want, all these things that I, me. You know, when I think about the Lord, the least when I'm eating. Usually. It's usually when I'm stuffing my face full of a piece of pie. Which is nothing wrong with good pie. There's nothing wrong with a lot of things. But when we start chasing that feeling more than this feeling, which this feeling doesn't come from here, it comes from here. Amen. But if you feed it through the power of his might and what he gives you and the instruction that we have, where should you place yourself? In the morning when you wake up on your knees before God, we should be on our knees begging, Lord, guide my path today. Guide my footsteps today. And when the choices come up, he'll give you the ability to flee from the temptation that comes in front of you. And don't think it's not going to come. It's going to come, and it's going to come heavy. And it's going to come at you harder. What I'm telling you is, brethren, we have a great God in heaven who's given us everything we stand in need of in this life. And I mean in this spiritual life to walk. He's provided for us. He's taken care of us. He's promised to never leave us or forsake us. He's promised to keep us. And one day he's going to come and call us all home to be with him. And that's going to be a great day. And I can't wait. Until that time, little brothers and sisters, we need to sojourn here together. We need to meet here under the sound of God. We need to sing songs. And we need to sing praises. We need to lift it up to the Lord. As often as we should, let's meet together and be at one another's feet. Let's be humbly at each other's feet and let's love one another as we've been instructed. Amen. I love you all so very much. And God's given us, he has, just as he's provided everything we have for us here in this natural life, he's provided for us in our spiritual life. And when we take things in our natural life and we gum them up and we dirty them up and we don't even know that they're there anymore. And we have the tendency to want to do that in our spiritual life. Let's not do that. Let's put our face, let's seek after the kingdom of God. Let's seek after God and his righteousness. We have none. I hope I made sense this morning. I know the time is gone. Y'all have been so attentive. Thank you so much. God bless you. I love you.
God bless you. Time will fit. Thank the Lord. I got a lot over that. A lot of more business.
You're going to have me.